Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. In the Open. Teresa's here.
Hello, everybody. It's America. Hope everybody's doing awesome today.
And today we're going to talk about our topic title is called I'm Afraid I'm Going to Kill Myself.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
I think about death all the time for lots of different reasons, and it really bothers me that it's such a topic that people are so afraid to talk about, especially among people who are supposed to help you with your stuff. I get it, but it also bothers me, you know? Why is this topic so scary?
Because I think for many people, like you're talking about it, right? Like you think about it all the time. Some people may be thinking about it, but there's this whole notion of, how am I supposed to actually say out loud what I'm thinking? Because it's super scary to people.
Okay, so we should talk about like how it's scary when you're on the one side. Like people with mental health problems think about death all the time. And why does that happen?
I think the tendency is that there may be a belief that we're just more closely tied to negative emotions, but that's like not true. I just think we're more comfortable in thinking about the realm of both light and dark on a regular basis, where sometimes we kind of go more towards the dark because that's how we feel.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, like, I think like in the bouts of a depressed episode, thinking about death all the time is something that's common, like a common experience. It doesn't mean that I want to kill myself, but I do think about death. It doesn't sound, I think, the way people think that it sounds. Like, it doesn't sound like I'm going to kill myself and this is how I want to do it. It sounds like I don't belong in this world. I am better off not in this world. Nobody would care if I was gone. So what's the point anyways?
Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes I think about like, I kind of go down this path of what would happen if you weren't here? What really, like what would really happen? You know, and then you get into this place of just thinking and thinking and it becomes a cycle. And it's so normal to you that I think for a lot of people, it can be shocking when you're like, oh yeah, I was thinking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody's like, what? What do you mean?
That's true. And it's like, what's the point where you're like, okay, my thinking about death all the time is like an okay way of me thinking about death versus like, okay, this is not okay anymore. I know I talk about this all the time, like when the rage monster feels good, like when it feels good to hurt myself, when my thoughts about death feel like a relief. I think that's the point where I was like, okay, this is weird because sometimes I have thoughts about death and it feels anxious, like, ugh, or like feels like sad or, but there's another quality of like this point where I get to where I think about death and I'm like, oh, I'm excited about death.
Yeah, that's the line though, right? Because then you're like, am I going and am I taking it in a different direction, I think.
Yeah. But there's also a different kind that I haven't felt this way in a long time, but as we're talking, I kind of remember it. And that's like the feeling about death because you're like, I just want all of this to end, you know, like the pain and the suffering. That's probably the place I think for people who are really deep in that space, like, or when I was really deep in that space, what that felt like that's a really hard place to be.
I envision it as this place of just darkness. So you know how they have those curtains that can shut out the light?
Yeah.
I know that people have really good intentions and there are so many efforts to try to help people when they're in this space. But it's like somebody's trying to pull back these curtains and you're just like, no, forget it. And you just shut it. And you're constantly going over there and just pulling it shut again because it can be very hard to let in a little bit of light because then that means you actually have to face whatever's happening.
Yeah, painful to let in light or sometimes so deep in that process, you're not even sure how to get out of that dark space.
Yeah.
That space is super alone.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're alone because people have left or you've like made it that way where you're like, oh, I'm going to be in my space alone. I think that's the place where people who are in the spot where they're thinking about death, but also like people who are helping you who don't understand the about death all the time. Like, I think that's the scariest place that we all think about when it comes to thoughts of death and like that you're afraid you're going to kill yourself, right? Because that's the place of deep suffering.
There is this idea, like when you were talking about how you feel, and it's kind of part of your personality where you're like self-deprecating and you're talking about all these things. And for us, when we hear you talk about it, it's like, we know you're just talking about it. But for people that are not prepared to hear that, I think two things happen. One is the person's like, did I just hear what I think I thought they said?
Yeah.
And are they so openly talking about it? What's wrong with them? Something has to be wrong with them.
It became my coping skill, I think, because that space where actually thinking about being gone from this world and actually completing suicide was so painful that the coping skill I developed after that experience was to be able to talk about it so that I don't know why it's a coping skill. Like somebody is going to be able to tell me why, but I feel like being able to talk about it a lot has helped me prevent getting back to that really bad space. Because I think people in my life definitely have seen different qualities of the way that I talk about it. So like if I got to that space where I was very exhausted and I was like clearly depressed or something like that, then people are like, okay, for real though, like checking in, versus if I talk about death and it's funny, which is horrible, but I do. It's a coping skill.
You're funny. If I talk about death and it's funny, you crack me up.
We get this all the time, like people writing comments all the time. And like, honestly, just being afraid that they're going to hurt themselves, that they feel like they want to hurt themselves. And self-harm and like killing yourself is very different than actually contemplating suicide, right? Let's talk about that a little bit. Like, what's the difference between there are obsessive thoughts about death. That's different than thinking about death and wanting to end things because you're suffering. So obsessive thoughts about death.
So when you talk about it like that, the image that pops into my mind is from Beetlejuice.
Uh-huh.
And you know, in Beetlejuice, the young girl, she's focused completely on death.
Uh-huh.
She kind of is all about it. Have you not ever seen Beetlejuice?
I have seen Beetlejuice. I love okay. Beetlejuice. Yeah.
And so her personality is just about embracing this space. Not truly understanding it, because she comes to understand it much later, but I feel that that's where a lot of people kind of exist and saying, it's kind of comfortable for me to think about it in this way, but there's like a line that is crossed that kind of then scares you, you know, scares the person beyond and say, yeah, that's a little too far.
Yeah. And it could be sad, like thinking about death and sad. It could also be like, it could be very anxiety provoking is why you think about death, right? Like being afraid of death or doing things in your, there are a lot of things in mental health where we do things because we are convinced that if we don't, like OCD is like that. I'm convinced that if I don't do this thing, then something really bad is going to happen. Or I think about death all the time because I'm trying to prevent death, or I am afraid of death. So I'm afraid of germs and I'm obsessed about keeping clean and the things that bother me so that I don't die, or that I might kill myself accidentally because I'm obsessed with, I just have a compulsion to want to pick up a knife. And I think about that, like picking up a knife, and like, I'm afraid that I'm going to hurt myself or hurt someone else because it's an obsessive thought. General anxiety slips quickly to OCD, or, and then when you start to feel like you've lost control, it's like, okay, like who has control of my mind? I'm afraid that I'm going to hurt somebody because I'm not in control of my mind and I'm going to hurt somebody or hurt myself.
So how do you know though, what you're talking about? How do you get to this place of understanding that line and identifying that line?
So I guess it's important to talk about it because obviously if anybody actually feels like they've lost control or they think that they're going to hurt themselves, like the point where somebody called Suicide Prevention Lifeline for me was unfortunately when I'm like, you know, in that space and I it's impulsive. I mean, like, I think a lot of suicide is impulsive. I don't think people know that. A lot of people think about suicide all the time, but that moment where I'm going to do something happens in like 5 minutes that I'm going to make this decision to do something. And I just happened to be lucky enough that somebody near me who was close to me was there and knew, even though we were both young, to call someone. It happened to be anonymous, which was probably better, because if it was a family member, I think it would have been awful. And that helped me. And it helped start a path of realizing that something was going on, you know? But I think the part of the problem is like, what if you're going to make a plan, if you're thinking about a plan and you have walked down the path and don't feel like you can control the thoughts, or you feel like the thoughts have controlled you and you want to execute whatever plan you're thinking about, those are all clear signs that you know, something needs to happen, that you need to reach out for help. They think about these things, and if they're lucky, they're thinking about them out loud. But most people don't have that luck. They're not thinking about them out loud. And that's part of the problem, is because we don't have a culture that lets people talk about these things. So you just swim around your head until you're ready to execute. And that's a big problem, you know? And that's the moment where I think, I don't know, somewhere in that, the challenges with suicide is that we don't have real solutions, because suicide is impulsive in a lot of ways. What we need to do is make sure that people feel comfortable talking about things really early. Sometimes when I'm just joking about it, just so that when things are serious, I feel like I can go talk to somebody about it instead of being by myself.
So, I mean, it does get to this place of, you're talking about some solutions, right? Like, talking about it is an important thing. But I think it's also important to think about, how does somebody get to this place of, for a long time, I've just been joking about it, and now it's really serious. Like, I've crossed this threshold, this line, I've crossed it, because now if I am looking to finalize my plans in any way, figuring out how to do things, putting things in motion, then you are at a higher risk.
Yeah, for sure.
But if I'm not at that place and I'm still kind of thinking about it, and it becomes kind of a second nature for me to think about death, is it necessary for me to actively talk to somebody about it so that it doesn't get to that place of putting together plans?
Yeah. So I think one of the things we want to do in this space is like prevent people from falling into the traps we did, right? And the more common trap around suicide or self-harm or thoughts about killing yourself is that because we don't have safe spaces to talk about stuff, that we go through that period where we, you know, a lot of people in mental health meet other people or know other people who have tried to do something, whether it's cutting yourself or had thought about, you know, suicide and what that felt like. And we don't, what I know about solutions is like from going down that path and like what I know today works, like thinking about a RAP plan, for example, right? Like the RAP plan is the Wellness Recovery Action Plan. The components of that I think are useful around my thoughts of death are really just knowing my own triggers and like knowing myself enough to know when I know things are going downhill. And then being able to talk about those experiences with my family enough so that when they see those signs early on too, they're with me in that accountability process to say, hey, if you didn't catch it, I know something and I'm not letting this go. So it does. It is a process of learning how to talk about it. But there are actual things like the Wellness Recovery Action Plan that's like a piece of paper that helps you walk through what to do. So you can think about it yourself, like what to do, and also share with other people so that they're aware of like what they can do. It's the same concept as like a psychiatric advance directive, right? These are very high level tools that people use in this space.
I think for many people, writing things down ends up being a very useful thing because it's something tangible that you can see.
Yeah.
And understanding, you know, are you thinking about certain aspects of death that you can kind of hone in on once you actually write it down? Or are you really contemplating something because of, as a result of something else that happened to you? you know.
Yeah.
So for a long time, if for me, I've been living in like in this kind of land of depression, then something traumatic happens to me. The kind of general notion would be like, this always is in the back of my mind. So now this is something that could really be. And being able to recognize that that may be something that's triggering for you, I think is really important.
Yeah.
So that people aren't afraid of really embracing that and saying to yourself, and then hopefully talking to somebody else and saying, look, I know that I'm going through something, which isn't easy. That's not easy at all. But being able to recognize I need help.
And when I need help, yeah.
Yeah.
It is a process. And for many people, this takes, it takes a lot of time because we're afraid to talk about it. I think it would take less time if we were less afraid to talk about this issue, because we would introduce these ideas and go ahead and confront them when people were teenagers instead of waiting till they were 35 or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it takes time for you to ask yourself, like, why do you have these thoughts, and try to give yourself education for like, okay, does it come from my OCD? Does it come from my depression? Mm-hmm. Does it come from my trauma? Is this right now, or is it something I think about all the time? Does it come from my suffering? And is there something I can change and make a change to change that situation? And who can I talk about? That all takes some time. But I think if you have a safe space and you have somebody to do that stuff with, that is the necessary process if you want to stay safe and be able to just be okay with talking about that you have these thoughts, right? I will say, like, don't you think that the mental health community, like, I feel the safest talking about these things with other people who struggle. I did not feel safe talking about these thoughts. And I still don't sometimes. I definitely don't with my doctor. They will put me into a hospital. I feel comfortable talking to you guys. You're my coworkers, but you understand mental health, peer supports and things like that. I feel safe talking about people in my circle who know that I have these thoughts but aren't going to freak out about it. Those are my safe people. I'm not walking around telling my doctor that I have thoughts of death. My fear there is that they're going to hospitalize me.
It's this notion of not an uneducated. It's just a lack of conversation, because not everybody that thinks about death is thinking about killing themselves.
Yeah. And that is education, but I don't think most mental health practitioners who've not thought about death or had enough thought about this space feel comfortable enough to not jump to the quick conclusion that I need to make a safety plan with you and like do that thing, you know?
Yes, I would agree. There is some hesitancy, I think, for many people to share that, because there are protocols in place that kind of prevent also from, if you were to share that with me in a professional space, I have to do something.
This is true.
Unless, right,
yeah,
you say to me, what I'm telling you is, I'm having these thoughts. I am not suicidal. I completely know the difference. I'm just sharing this.
That's really important for us to tell people who think about death, because you can save yourself a lot of grief if you can sit back and be able to articulate that. Like, I am thinking about death all the time, and I think about these specific thoughts, but I do not have a plan, but I want to be able to talk to you about this stuff.
Yes.
That's a good way to introduce that conversation if you have a therapist or someone you trust to start talking to you about that stuff.
And I think many therapists would agree that that's a good place for conversation, because they can help you kind of dig through all the stuff that may lead you to have these thoughts that you may not be capable of doing on your own, you know?
For sure. Yeah.
But there is a fine line, because I think of parents, right? If you're like thinking about death a lot and you go to your parents, automatically the, you know, mama and papa are just like, wait, what? How could you do that? No, we didn't raise you like that.
Freaking out.
It's like, dude, I wasn't even telling you that I'm thinking about killing myself. I'm telling you I'm having these thoughts. It's just kind of my normal, but you're not willing to listen and understand why. So there is a space that has to exist where it may be uncomfortable at first, but where you're getting to kind of helping them understand why it is you have these thoughts.
One of the things I always ask people to think about where they're wondering if they have depression is they kind of have to ask their family members, like, do we have a history of depression? And it isn't until somebody asks that question that dad or grandma's like, oh, dang, aunt, blah, 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 you know, did.
Yeah.
And we're like, why doesn't anybody talk about this stuff? And so you might not come right out and be like, oh, I have thoughts about death and I think about death all the time. If you can ask somebody like, do you know if somebody in your family has a history of depression? That can help start some of the conversation and also give you information about what it is that you're struggling with. I have no idea if that would have worked. I know with my family, that would not have gone down well when I was 12. I think there were some people in my family who would have been okay. And then there were others who would just be there. Other people in my family were just still like, do not say the thing that is a helpful thing at all. And I think that goes back to what we said about expectations. Like, just expect that people aren't going to necessarily respond to you the way you want them to. But you can ask if somebody has depression in your family. Maybe that starts the conversation. If you feel safe enough to say, hey, to your mom, like, hey, I have these weird thoughts. I think about death. I think that if you feel that comfortable with your parent, that's a pretty special relationship.
Yeah, definitely.
And that makes me feel like you're in a good spot. Like, that's pretty awesome. But I do know like 90% of the challenge is that first step where you're like, am I going to share this at all? Like, why do I have these thoughts all the time? I'm just going to sit with them. I'm never going to share them, or I don't know who I could talk to about them. So we're always like, just find someone, you know?
And that kind of goes back to the space of if what I'm feeling is normal, right? Remember we talked about that?
Yeah.
Because your normal is different than my normal. And if my normal is having these types of thoughts and just kind of just existing with them, then it is what it is, right? But your parents may not always be the right people to talk to, even though we would love that, right? That there are these relationships that are completely powerful or everything. But it's more about finding the right person that you know will listen to you to get you to a place where you can have a more in-depth discussion and conversation.
Yeah.
Because this shouldn't be left on the table. Like, oh, by the way, this is happening. Okay, let's move on. Like, no, this is something to think about.
I mostly talked about this stuff with my friends, not with an adult until I was an adult.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll just say this, you know, hopefully you've gained something from just the different types of experience. And if you're really struggling with your thoughts out there and you think that something might be going on, there are a couple resources that you can call who are really people who are really used to having conversations with people who think about death and who might walk you through and help create safe spaces for you. The crisis text line is one of them, right, America? How does somebody access crisis text line?
So the crisis text line is available via text from your cell phone. All you need to do is send MHA, like the letters MHA, to 741741, and you will be automatically connected to a trained crisis counselor, and it's available 24/7. And for many people, that's easier than calling somebody because you're not actually speaking with somebody, and it's all via text, which most of us are accustomed to.
So, and 741, that's weird because it doesn't look like a phone number. So it always makes me feel weird when I'm typing like a non-phone number into that phone number block. But it's weird, but it works.
It works.
741-741.
Yep.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline does provide telephone-based supports. You can Google that number and then just click it from your phone to get connected to a phone base. I think they're also experimenting with some text-based supports, right?
Yep.
So sometimes what happens with these services is that they can be overloaded because you're not alone. If you think about death all the time, I promise you there are a lot of people out there who are also thinking about death all the time. And so if you run into some challenges, if you're not getting connected to somebody right away, try a different service. Try the text, try the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, or try the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline phone or text. And then if that doesn't work, I would say you can also try a warm line. You can Google mental health warm lines and call some of the numbers that you might see there too. But I really do hope that if you're struggling with some thoughts, that any of the three things that we just shared is an option. So
yeah, the suicide prevention lifeline number is 1-800-273-8255. 8255, and they're available 24/7. They also have a chat feature on their website. They do have it available in Spanish, so it is a resource for you. The crisis text line is only available in English, but available 24/7. And the warm lines that Teresa was talking about, if you go to warmlines.org, there is a full list of organizations that provide warm lines. They're not always available 24/7, so you just have to look at what's available in your city, your state. And the warm lines are oftentimes manned by individuals who have lived experience, so people that can help you navigate this system and your feelings and just kind of chit-chatting. They're not crisis support. They're just there to listen, kind of help you walk through your stuff.
But that is a good thing to talk about. Like, if you just have thoughts about death, but you know you're not going to hurt yourself, the warm line is a nice anonymous space to just talk to somebody, and it is free. I know a couple in LA are available nationwide. So I guess if you're interested in a warm line, there is an opportunity for you to just email us too and ask us if you're like, oh, I want a warm line and, you know, help me navigate this process. You can email screening@mentalhealthamerica.net and just let us know you're looking for some warm lines or some guidance on that. And we'll try and find one that works for you. And you can call these numbers anytime to talk to somebody. Well, thanks everybody for joining us today. Keep fighting in the open.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Have a great day. Bye.